The BBC presents A Mass of Cobwebs, a play for radio by Brian Batchelor, from the short story The Tractate Midoth by M.R. James. A Mass of Cobwebs.
My name is Garrett, William Garrett. I'm so very glad you were able to come. I must confess my invitation was really an excuse to gossip. An old man's weakness, you know. And living out in the country, my wife and I don't have much company nowadays. Oh, we're quite content. There are always plenty of things to keep us busy in the house. Although I'm afraid I spend more time shut in my library than anywhere else. I love my books. You see, my whole life has been connected with them. At school, of course, at university, and then... Ah, but look, let me tell you this story properly. It's a strange one. About this house and a book. Though not one I'd care to have in my collection, even now. It was all a long time ago, of course, over half a century, when I was a young assistant librarian working in one of the big university libraries. It was evening, I remember, just before the library closed. I was walking through the entrance hall when the hall porter came up to me.
What is it?
It's that gentleman over there, sir. He wants to take a book out from your section. I told him it was a bit late, but he seemed very anxious to have it tonight, if possible.
Have you checked his name on the list?
Oh, yes, sir. Mr. John Eldridge, St. Mark's College. B.A. 1870, M.A.
Yes, that sounds all right. Don't worry, I'll take care of it.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Eldridge. Oh. Everything seems in order, sir. I'll gladly get the book for you.
Thank you, young man. Here. I've written the title on this piece of paper.
Ah, yes, the Tractate Midoth. That seems quite straightforward, sir. I should be able to put my hand on it right away.
Only make sure it's that edition. It must be that book, that and no other.
Yes, of course, sir. I'm sorry, Mr. Eldridge.
Book, young man. Where's the book?
It's out, sir.
Out? You sure? You must have made a mistake.
I don't think so, sir. In fact, if you wait a moment, you might meet the gentleman who's got it.
What gentleman? One of the professors?
Oh, no, this was a short, stoutish old gentleman in a black cloak. He might have been a clergyman.
A clergyman?
Yes. Are you feeling all right, sir?
No, it's nothing. I can't wait now. I'll come back in the morning. Yes, I'll come back then.
Well, I'm damned. He's in a hurry all of a sudden.
Why, good morning, sir. You're nice and early.
I've come about my book. Where's the assistant I was speaking to last night?
He's coming now, sir. He was hoping to catch you.
Good morning, Mr. Eldridge. I'm afraid I owe you an apology, sir. I was certain the old gentleman took the book last night, but when I went up to make sure, there it was on the shelf. I really am very sorry, sir. If you care to wait, I'll fetch it right away.
Oh, very good. Really, this is too bad. The fellow's been gone half an hour. Here, you. That young man who was getting my book.
Mr. Garrett.
Yes, sir. What's happened to him?
Well, I was just thinking it was funny, sir. He's quick as a rule. But hold on a minute, sir. I'll call him up on the speaking pew.
Hello? Hello? Hall porter here? Has Mr. Garrett been up there? Well, I never... Dear, oh dear. Where's poor Mr. Garrett now? I see. Right. Thank you.
I'm afraid that something a little awkward seems to have happened, sir.
Awkward? What do you mean?
Mr. Garrett. He seems to have been taken poorly. The librarian sent him home in a cab. Something of an attack, from what I heard.
An attack? Do you mean someone has injured him?
Oh, no, sir, no violence. Not here in the library. He's been attacked by an attack of illness. Not a strong constitution, you know, sir.
But look here. Couldn't you fetch this book for me, or is there anyone else who...
No, sir, I'm afraid, as it's Mr. Garrett's section.
I see. Then it seems I must leave it for the moment. I'm sorry this young man has been taken ill while helping me. I think I'll call on him, see how he is. Yes, that's it. Do you know his address?
Yes, sir. He's got lodgings in Bridge Lane, number 10, just down by the station.
Excellent, excellent. I'll go at once. Number 10, Bridge Lane, you said.
It's good of you to call, Mr. Eldred. I'm feeling much better now. I can't say how sorry I am, sir.
Oh, think nothing of it. Now, tell me, did you have some kind of fall?
No, at least I collapsed onto the floor, but not a fall from a height. No, I suppose it was the shock.
Ah, something startled you. Was it something you thought you saw?
Mr. Eldred, I know I saw this. You remember when you came to the library yesterday?
Yeah, of course, but don't try to tell me about it. It would distress you more than you think.
But I just can't understand, sir.
William, old man, just looked in to see how... Professor, I didn't know you had a visitor.
It's all right, George. Come in. Mr. Eldred, may I present a fellow librarian of mine, George Earle?
Gentlemen, you must excuse me. I have to catch a train. I haven't packed my things. By the way, could you give me the catalogue number of the Tractate Midoth?
Oh, yes, of course. I had written it down on a scrap of paper. I think you'll find the paper over there, sir, on the table.
Ah, yes, yes. Thank you. And now I shall wish you good day, gentlemen. Good day.
Good day, sir.
Well, that's a rum one, William. Still, I'm glad to see you looking brighter. You know, I've always thought there was something wrong with the air in that library. Just before we found you, Davis and I were coming along the gallery, and I said to him, did you ever know such a musty smell as there is in here?
No, George, that smell has only been there in the last day or two. Smell of dust. But that wasn't what turned me over. It was something I saw.
Saw? What was it?
I was checking a book for Eldred. I tried to find it yesterday, but when I got up there, I thought I saw an old parson in a cloak taking out that very book.
And did he?
No. The book hadn't been touched. So I went up again this morning, in broad daylight, remember? There was my parson again, with his back to me, looking at the books on the shelf I wanted. His head was dry and dusty, and the streaks of hair didn't look like hair. They were like cobwebs. Well, I made a bit of a noise on purpose. I coughed and moved my feet. He turned round and I saw his face. His eyes were sunk right back in his head. And over them, from the eyebrows to the cheekbones, were cobwebs.
My dear...
Cobwebs! Well, that finished me. I don't remember anything more.
Now, look here, old man. I know this has been a strain and all that.
Look, but... I saw them, I tell you, George.
Look, I've got some news for you. I saw the librarian just now. He was rather worried and said you weren't to come back until you'd had a holiday. A week's rest and a smell of air, you know.
Perhaps he's right, George. I don't know what to think. Yes, I could go down to Burnstow-on-Sea for a few days, I suppose.
Burnstow, sir?
Over there, platform 4. You'll have to hurry, though. The train's yours in a minute.
Thank you. You did stay platform 2.
Excuse me, sir. This is my train. Oh, my God. Get away from me.
Mother, whatever's the matter with him? Oh, the poor gentleman. He looks so ill.
Raise his head, my dear, and find my smelling bottle. Yes, it's in my bag. Yes. Poor young man.
Here you are.
Thank you, my dear.
But whatever happened? Yes. Was it my fault? There. I thought he tripped and was going to miss the train and...
Shh, look, he's stirring.
Oh, Mother, he looks so...
Where am I? What happened?
I think you will have to tell us, sir. You were just going to get into the next compartment as the train started to move.
And then it looked as if you stumbled, so I opened the carriage door for you and you... Well, say, you fell in.
And then you fainted.
Did did something distress you?
I remember now. But what must you think of me? What can I say?
Say nothing, sir. Just sit back and rest.
Yes. Thank you. The fact is, I haven't been well lately, and then on the platform, when I saw the old gentleman...
Old gentleman?
Oh, you didn't see anyone with you?
You... I see. But let me introduce myself. William Garrett, at your service.
We're very pleased to make your acquaintance, Mr. Garrett, even under such unusual circumstances. My name is Mrs. Simpson, and this is my daughter, Mary.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Are you staying long at Burnstow, Mr. Garrett?
Only a few days. It was a sudden decision, really.
It's a quiet little town. We moved there a few years ago when my husband died. We own a little private hotel, you know.
A hotel? Mrs. Simpson, I wonder... I haven't arranged for any accommodation, and if you had any spare rooms...
Mother, Mr. Garrett is looking for somewhere to stay.
Mary, I don't think it... But if you're serious, Mr. Garrett, we do have some vacant rooms. You're very welcome to inspect them.
Serious? Of course I am. There's nothing I'd like better. You've been so kind to me already. I couldn't wish for better landlady. I feel very honored to be invited into your sitting room, Mrs. Simpson.
Nonsense, Mr. Garrett. You've only been here 3 days, but you're like one of the family already.
Oh, Mother.
What is it, dear? Why, I do believe you're blushing.
Tell us about your work in the library, Mr. Garrett.
There isn't much to tell, really. I like books. They give me my living, so I wouldn't say a word against them.
I only wish I could say the same, but books have played me a sad turn.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Mother, perhaps Mr. Garrett could help us unravel the mystery.
Oh, I'm sure he doesn't want to be bothered with our family affairs.
On the contrary, Mrs. Simpson, that is, if you think it's the least likely that I could help, please tell me what the problem is. After all, if it means finding out about a book, I'm in rather a good position to do it.
Yes, but the trouble is we don't even know the name of the book.
Nor what it's about?
No. Mr. Garrett, I will tell you the story, but I think it would be best if you kept it to yourself.
Of course.
Thank you. Well, it's just this. I had an old uncle named Dr. Rant. Well, he wasn't famous, but the way he chose to be buried caused some talk at the time.
Horrid old man. He left instructions that he was to be buried sitting at a table, wearing his everyday clothes, if you please. Oh. And not in the churchyard, but in a brick room he'd had built, in a cellar underneath his house.
Oh, yes, I do remember now.
Well, since his retirement, he just lived quietly on his estate, not far from here.
Oh?
His only relatives were myself and my elder cousin, John. I don't think he liked either of us very much, or anyone else, for that matter. He was quite a wealthy man, and we always understood, my cousin and I, that we should share everything equally when the old man died. Well, when he fell ill and wasn't expected to live, he sent for me. On the day before he died, he asked me to sit by his bed. I could see he was saving up something to tell me, and he was putting it off as long as he felt he could. But at last he called me. Ellen.
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 Yes, Uncle Jacob.
Ellen. I've got a shock for you. For you and that impoverished husband of yours. I've made my will.
Yes, I am.
Yes, yes, but it's in John's favor. I've given him everything, Ellen.
Oh.
But listen, I've never liked John, and the only affection he has for me is for my money. So I've made another will, a later one in your favor. You can have everything. But you've got to find that will, and I don't mean to tell you where it is. The disappointment and worry will punish you for getting married and leaving me all alone. Now, I fancied I wouldn't write this will in the usual way, so I wrote it in a book, Ellen. A printed book. but You needn't trouble to hunt through the books in this house. It isn't in any of them. It's in safekeeping elsewhere. In a place where John could go any day and find it, and you can't. It's a good will, too. Properly signed and witnessed. But I don't think you'll find the witnesses in a hurry. Now, I've told John about this other will. He can enjoy my money and the estate for the time being, but only until you can claim them. If he's honest, he'll help you search, but from what I know of him, he'll try to cheat you, Ellen. He'll try to destroy the will. But I won't let him, Ellen. I've sworn that no one shall destroy it, even if I have to guard it myself. There now, you've taken it very quietly. So I'll tell you one or two things I haven't told John. The will is in English, though you wouldn't guess it if you saw it. That's one thing. The other is an envelope in my desk, addressed to you. Inside, there's a clue. It'll help you to find the book if you've the wits to understand it. Quite an interesting game, don't you think, Ellen?
Oh, Uncle Jacob.
But you needn't worry. I'll see things come right for you.
In the end. And that was all. A few hours later, he was gone. Of course, I appealed to John Eldred for help.
John Eldred? I beg your pardon, Mrs. Simpson. Did you say John Eldred?
Yes, Cousin John. Why?
Oh, nothing. I think I've met him somewhere, that's all. Do go on, Mrs. Simpson.
Really, there isn't much to add. John Eldred paid no attention to my letters. In that respect, I'm afraid my uncle was right. He's lived on the estate in comfort ever since.
But what about the envelope?
Well, it was just a slip of paper with five numbers on it. 11334.
I wonder. Have you any reason to suspect that Mr. Eldred is still looking for the missing book?
I'm afraid he may be. I'm told he's always travelling about to booksellers and libraries. Become quite an obsession with him, I believe.
Mother, what did Uncle mean about guarding the will?
I don't know, my dear. Somehow I don't like to think about it.
Mrs. Simpson, I have an idea about the book. It may be nothing, of course, but I would like to pursue it. And if I am correct, there may be no time to lose.
You mean you think you may be able to help us?
I very much hope so, Miss Simpson, but it's only a very slight chance. If you'll excuse me, I'll just pack a few things straight away.
Yes, yes, of course.
Why, bless me, Mr. Garrett. How are you, sir? We weren't expecting you.
Excuse me, Hodgson. I'll tell you later.
Oh, very well, sir.
334. I must be right. What else could it be? Yes. He was standing just over there. So the book must be... 11:30. It's gone. Eldred must have got it already. Hodgson, has the old gentleman been in again? The old gentleman who came the day I was taken ill? I was collecting a book for him. You remember?
Of course I remember him, sir. But he hasn't been here again. Not since you went off on your holiday.
Are you quite sure?
Oh, yes, sir. I remember the gentleman clearly.
I see.
Anything troubling you, sir, if you'll excuse my asking?
No, Hodgson, it's just that I felt sure Mr. Eldred must have taken out that book.
Eldred? Excuse me, sir, but was the gentleman's name Eldred?
That's right, John Eldred. Why?
Well, sir, that's the gentleman who sent a shilling extra over the price of the parcel.
Parcel? Do you mean you've been sending books to Mr. Eldred? Have you?
Look, Mr. Garrett, if a gentleman sends the ticket all written correctly and a sum of money for the railway charges, what would
yes,
you
Hodgson,
have done?
But...
Now, would you or would you not have taken the trouble to oblige?
You were quite right, of course, Hodgson, perfectly right, but Can you show me the ticket Mr. Eldred sent? I want his address.
Certainly, Mr. Garrett. So long as I'm not badgered about and told I don't know my duties, I'm happy to oblige in any way in my power. Here's the ticket on the file. J. Eldred, 11334, the Tractate Middeth.
Ah, thank you. Brettfield Manor, Gadsden. That's on the main line, I think. Quick, give me the train timetable. Let's see. Yes, this is it. If the book left here at 10:30, Hodgson, would it have caught the 11:20 train?
Possible, sir, but hardly likely.
Well, we must risk it. I can't stop Eldred getting a parcel, but he won't harm the book if I can help it.
What was that, sir?
Nothing. Go to the gate and find me a cab, will you, Hodgson? Porter?
Yes, sir?
I'm looking for a Mr. Eldred. Does he live near here?
Mr. Eldred? Oh, yes, sir. You'll see him in a minute. He's calling for this parcel.
I could take the parcel along to Brettfield Manor, if you like, and deliver it for you.
Oh, no, sir. Not for Mr. Eldred. He wouldn't like that. Anyway, he'll be here presently.
Yes. How far is Brettfield Manor?
About 2 miles, sir. I expect Mr. Eldred's carriage will be here any minute.
Thanks. I won't wait. I'll enjoy the walk. Here.
Oh, thank you, sir. Hey, it's getting dark, so you'll have to hurry.
I must be mad. What shall I say to him when he arrives? That maid seemed suspicious enough. Great heavens, here he comes. There's nowhere to hide.
Thank you,
unless
sir.
In the dark, behind those curtains.
There's a gentleman to see you, sir. Huh? I showed him into the study.
A gentleman? Who, girl?
Well, sir...
An old man? White hair? A cloak?
Oh, no, sir. A young gentleman.
Very well. You may go.
Thank you, sir. Very good, sir.
Well, now... Smith, come here. Stupid girl. There's no one here.
The parcel. He's going to open it. I must stop him. What can I do? But what? There's something. Great heavens.
No. No. No.
Now, Mr. Garrett, as you know, the task of this court is merely to decide how the late John Eldred met his death. Fortunately, there is no suspicion of foul play. Medical opinion is quite certain that death was caused by some kind of shock to a weak heart. What we must attempt to clarify is what caused this shock. Is there anything you know that would help us?
Well, sir, I was standing in a dark corner of the room. Mr. Eldred did not notice me as he came in. He was carrying a parcel, and he pulled off the string and wrapper. Then he sat down and started looking through the book.
You mean reading it?
No, sir, he wasn't really reading. He seemed to be looking for something. At any rate, after a second or two, he took hold of a page and began to tear it out.
Yes, one of the fly leaves is partially torn. Please continue.
Well, sir, it was at that point that the darkness of the room seemed to play tricks with my eyes. Because just as Mr. Eldred started to tear the page, I thought I saw something. Something dark came up from behind his chair. It looked like two arms with something black between them. And these arms came round Mr. Eldred's face. He called out and fell backwards. I came forward and tried to help, but I was too late. Mr. Eldred was dead. And he was alone.
Mr. Garrett, I don't quite follow you in this. Are you suggesting that there was or was not someone else with the deceased?
I don't know, sir. Perhaps... Both.
Come, Mr. Garrett, I hope you're not suggesting that this tragedy was the work of some supernatural agent.
No, sir.
Now, let us turn to the outstanding matter of this book, The Tractate Middoth. The deceased was in the act of tearing one of the fly leaves just before he died. The page in question has some writing on it. I've been through it carefully. It is deceptively written, but it is in English. And it is a will.
It was, of course, the will leaving everything to Mrs. Simpson. The coroner decided that the shock of discovering it was quite sufficient to cause John Eldred's heart attack, and he returned a verdict of death from natural causes. I shared in Mrs. Simpson's good fortune a few months later when I married Mary, though I'd have married her just the same if she hadn't had a penny in the world. However, that is how, in time, I reached my present position as the owner of Brettfield Manor. But there is one room in the house I still avoid. You see, the last time I went into the study was on the morning after Eldred died. I walked round behind the table, and there, on the carpet, was a thick, black mass of cobwebs. And when I stirred it, several large spiders ran out, and scuttled into the dark corners of the room.
A Mass of Cobwebs by Brian Batchelor was based on the short story The Tractate Middoth by M.R. James. The producer was Robin Midgley.